Hello and welcome to IB Careers, Start Your Future Today, a student-led podcast exclusively available for Imperial College Business School students. I am your host, Adina Molnar, a recent business school graduate. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today's episode is about the first stage of a general recruitment scheme, and we have Rachel with us again. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me back again.
It's a pleasure. So to start off, can you walk me through a general recruitment cycle? I realize they might vary a lot, but if there is a general one.
Yes, definitely. So I will provide a recruitment cycle, and I suppose something to bear in mind is this is recruitment cycles and often for more medium, large size firms.
Yeah.
Whereas often with small firms, they might find their recruitment cycle is a lot more flexible. It might move a lot quicker because there's maybe less people involved. So kind of larger and medium sized firms tend to look very similar. But a standard recruitment cycle is often that there's a particular a vacancy or a program that's advertised. And obviously the requirements of that program and that job are listed. People then put in an application, and that's kind of specified if they're looking for CV, cover letter, answering application questions. And after you've moved through that process, some companies, and this is more common now, tend to send out automatically online tests that you then do as part of the process. And then after you've gone through those online tests, that's when your CV is reviewed. Occasionally it's that your CV is reviewed first and then you get the online tests if you go through. So it kind of how they shortlist and is slightly different. But after you've moved successfully through online tests, you often get an invitation for the first round of interviews, which is either via telephone or via video. And video is far more common now. You would often have a 20, 30 minute first round interview where they'd find out a little bit more about you. You would then move through to the next stage, which could either be another interview or it might be an assessment centre.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that assessment centre, you'd have a range of different activities and tasks to do as an individual or within a team, and then interviews as part of that process as well. It's very rare that you don't finish with some sort of final interview either as part of an assessment centre or as part of a kind of a company's process.
Yeah, so it's always a series of interviews, and then the assessment centre is sort of a group of interviews in one day often, but we will have an episode on assessment centres as well.
Okay.
So for now, we are focusing on the first stage of this cycle. What is the first stage usually? You mentioned the test. Is that what classifies as the first stage?
So either the test or that first video interview
is
regarded as the first stage. And like I said, it can slightly depend on the company. Yeah. So I think something to be aware is when you put an application in for a job, and this is quite important when you're applying for graduate schemes, is you need to be ready to take those tests, because it might be you put that application in and you automatically get that email saying, great, here's the test link and you need to complete with this within 5 days. Whereas if you've applied really early on, yes, that's great with being really proactive and being really organised, but if you're also at a stage where you're completely underprepared for that test in that stage, that can then suddenly feel really, really stressful or a little bit overwhelming. So I think just make sure you don't have to do a huge amount of preparation before, but be ready that it might happen fairly quickly and the next stage might happen fast.
Yeah, so the first step to prepare is really to look at the deadline, and if you see something cool and you decide you want to apply, but there's still 2 months or a month until the application closes, it might be worthwhile to wait a little bit with applications in order to practice a little bit if you know that it's a company that will give you a psychometric test or a logic test or the series of tests.
Definitely, and especially if it's a role that might be something that is quite on your side, it's a company that's really competitive or really ambitious because you want to do really well. And if maybe it's an area in that you haven't actually had an internship in or it feels quite brand new, then you might feel even a little bit less prepared. So gauge it that if you feel very, very confident, then great, go for it as soon as it opens. But if you feel a bit less sure, then that's where you can obviously take your time a bit more.
Yeah, I think that's very important that you pointed out, because I know that some people just see something and apply, which is great for some roles, but in these big companies, big roles, you need to be aware that the tests are sent out right away sometimes.
Mm.
So we were talking about the tests and then the interviews. How can students prepare for the tests? And what are the different types of tests, if we can go into that as well?
Yeah, of course. So in terms of different types of tests, there are some of them that are more numerical based tests, so doing kind of sometimes not necessarily extremely complicated calculations, but doing calculations from information they share on the screen with you. But sometimes there's just quite a lot of questions in quite a short period of time, so you can answer them, but it's just more the time pressure that is more of the challenge rather than the actual questions. So some of them are more numerical, some of them are more verbal, so it would be reading a passage, reading a particular paragraph, and then looking at that paragraph and thinking, right, actually, is this particular grammar correct, or what were they doing at that time? And there'd be questions about the passage you've just read. Potentially some of them that are more game-based, that's probably more common now, and that can feel very, very alien if it's doing something like you're a pirate on a ship and you have to pick how you're going to kind of, I don't know, save your boat or something. It feels very abstract and
tricky. Some of the game-based ones do, and you sort of feel like you don't know what they are assessing, which is why it's tricky.
Yeah.
So I think the best way to prepare for these kind of tests is just practice, use the available resources that the business school careers provide, which we just had an episode on in the previous, the previous episode was on this.
Yes.
So preparation, because you really don't know what will happen, so more you do, the more prepared you'll feel.
Yeah, definitely. And as you said, the resources, Graduates First is the main one that you could use for the more kind of logic based tests and activities you need to do. To be completely honest, with the game based activities, companies and the companies that have created those games have also invested a lot in them to make sure that actually they're not predictable, and that people, because they do want to just see what is your genuine reaction or approach and why would you do that. And there was recently a webinar and they talked about that even if you're trying to predict this is what they want from me and you're trying to kind of answer it in that way, it's really, really hard to trick it. And maybe a few of the questions, a few of the points might look slightly different, but ultimately the impression that you give will still often resonate with who you are. So rather than putting a lot of energy and effort into trying to change yourself or change your answers that you would normally be inclined to give, actually just more feel that you can probably kind of engage in the game or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think with game-based ones, it's often a situational or a judgment test as well. So that's really something you can't prepare for, and you should just be yourself and judge the situation at hand.
Yeah.
So tests are an important part of applications, as they are sometimes they're the first stage where students are rejected. Sorry to use that word, but we need to also get used to that. So preparing for that is important, but then also the other side of the first stage. So that would be interviews. What are these interviews? It's mostly motivational based, or is it already more specific to the role?
Yes, so it can sometimes be a little bit of a mix. It would be very rare that there's not at least two or three motivational based questions in there. So it would be more likely that they would always be part of it, but sometimes there might be a few competency added to it as well. But those would be the key part of it. Often they're not live. There's one or two companies that do their video interviews live still, but that's very, very rare. So it's normally that you would select a particular time and that would be scheduled. Sometimes how they're set up is you would get given the question and then they would say, now you have 30 seconds to prepare your answer.
Yeah.
And then you would have, say, 2 minutes to give your answer. Some of them may just purely ask the question, and then like it would be in an interview, there's probably a few second pause where you'd be processing it and then you'd answer straight away. So they can look just slightly different, but it is normally that very kind of question answer, like you said, motivation based, maybe one or two competency that's a little bit linked with the job, a little linked with the kind of core skills for the job.
So all the first stage interviews for big companies would be interviews that are not actually in person. They are just on the phone or via video, which is, as you said, is most common.
Yes, normally, and that's purely because with those large companies, the volume of applications they've got are just kind of like so vast.
Yeah.
Then this is something that just helps them kind mm-hmm. of sift that down and to really identify the people that are genuinely interested and committed and have obviously spent a little bit of time.
Right.
On
okay.
it as well.
Okay. That's an interesting new change, I think, in the recruitment cycle.
Yeah, definitely, especially like with video
yeah.
being such a huge part of it now.
And how can students prepare for a video interview? Because it does feel a little different when you're talking to a camera, when you're talking to a person and trying to see their reactions, because you don't get a reaction on that video. So how can they prepare for this?
Yeah, so you can, on Simplicity, there is practice video interviews, and you can use it to either just purely practice and then watch yourself back, which can be a little bit awkward, but could still be helpful. But you can also record it and then just delete it straight away if you just purely want the practice and you don't want to then reflect on it. Or the third option is to record it, and it can be sent, if you would like, to a careers consultant in the team. We would then review the video for you and give you feedback. So it's I suppose kind of a slight alternative to coming for a mock interview with us. So that would be one tool. Secondly, you could come for a mock interview with careers whenever someone has got an interview, whether that is phone, face-to-face, video. You can always contact our main front desk on IB Careers at imperial.ac.uk, that main inbox, and they can book you a time. So that obviously gives you a little bit more time with a consultant, a bit more of a conversation. But again, you'll probably just kind of practice yourself as well instead of your laptop. A really small thing that people do tend to find quite helpful is if you do something like put a post-it
yeah.
just right next to the camera,
mm-hmm.
because you can look at the post-it and it feels far more natural than actually just looking at that camera. But obviously the viewer can't notice anything.
Right. But you definitely shouldn't be looking at your notes, so always be looking at the camera and not really flipping through notes or looking down.
No, it's a really, really good question. It's a really good point. I probably would say you could have your CV in front of you. Maybe if there were one or two things that you think these are really, really key points or answers I know I want to share somehow, again, have them noted down, but just have maybe just words.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you glance down, you're looking back up again very quickly. It's very easy to get distracted reading from your notepad, and you don't realize how long you've been looking down as well. And they're obviously assessing communication as a massive part of this interview. So
yeah, so once again, practice is to get used to just talking to your camera, talking to a computer. Practice makes perfect. Mm. And you will feel a lot more comfortable if you have practiced, whether it's through just by yourself or sending it to a career consultant. That's great.
Mm.
Because then you actually get an outsider's feedback of what they thought your performance was like, not just you assessing yourself.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up the episode, what are your top three words of advice to students who are currently preparing for these type of assessments, whether it's tests or interviews? Because it's likely that no matter which one is first, they will both be part of the cycle.
Top three, I probably would give two, but
okay.
I'm aware we have already mentioned it earlier on. But I would say be yourself. It's something that we have recruiters say to us so regularly, and it's something that we as career consultants, when we're going through mock and practice interviews with students, that you really see people just almost put this wall up, and then it's what they think that professionalism looks like, or even if they don't, it's that element of nerves or just feeling unnatural and forced. And then later on, when potentially we're giving feedback and we might ask a few more questions, suddenly the information that we get is so much more valuable, and their tone is so much more engaged and excited, and that's what you want to show in that interview, and in a sense through that game as well, and through that engagement, you want to be yourself and show who you are.
Yeah.
Because every candidate, every person and student is unique.
Yeah.
And that's what appeals to companies, rather than someone who feels quite wooden or feels a bit more forced.
So preparation is key, but not don't prepare to be someone else, or don't prepare answers that you think they would like to hear. Prepare answers that are actually applicable to you, and that your characteristics, your personality will come across.
Exactly.
So that was the number one tip. If you have a second one.
I would say really know the company and know why you want to be there. Because that's another one where recruiters say people can fall down, is they'll answer the first question or two well, and actually, yes, maybe kind of why this role, maybe why this company. But then when they start to talk about it a bit more, there's clearly not that real grasp of like, what does the company want to do? Where do they want to go? Who are they? Why do I want to be part of that?
Yeah.
So you mentioned it about the research and preparation, but really knowing in your own mind kind of what is the reason that I want this. And again, that will also come across in the way that you talk about it. But your knowledge will also show the company and impress the company.
Yeah, so maybe two things I want to just add to that is, don't just look at the info page of a company because you feel like you're out of time, or that you already know the company. It's really good to know their projects and kind of make it personal why you are interested. And if you can highlight some specific things, that will you come across as a lot more genuine and interested in the company itself.
Yep, definitely. And we're in now also slightly different time now where you can follow your companies on LinkedIn, on Twitter, look up on Instagram. So you actually can constantly get all of these little bits of information about things that are happening, or get a feel of how do they market themselves, who's their customer. All of that will help you as well to describe to them why you're interested and give you ideas about why you're interested too, if you just know that they're successful but you don't know why that maybe is the one place for you.
Yeah, that's true. You could also see what specific areas you're interested in working for that company. If there's another tip, a third,
oh, that is a hard one. I'm trying to think. So kind of being yourself and having that preparation. I think I would always, there's a small tip, but I'd always just read through that job description again before you have an interview, or maybe even before those online tests, if you want a real refresher of what are they looking for. And even though you know you can't predict it, at least you can get a bit of a gauge on what type of skills or what might they focus on. If you know it's a real numerical based role, at least you might get an idea of actually the tests might be very numerical based. So, but it's a really good way to actually remind yourself of these are the skills they're looking for, the experience, and kind of put it in quite a like a logical way for you to check yourself off against them. So that's something that tends to happen, is sometimes you apply for a job and then naturally the advert disappears because the job is closed. So I would always say save the jobs you apply for, because it's hard, if it's frustrating to get called for an interview but then think I don't have the job description.
That happened to me once last year and I learned from it and screenshot all the other ones.
It's happened to me as well, so it's really common.
It's a small tip, but it's important for sure. Thank you so much for coming on again, and if you have other questions related to first stage recruitment, please just contact the careers consultants because they're here to help. Thank you so much, Rachel.
No problem. Thanks for having me again.